Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by my good buddy. I'm allowed to call you a friend. Like our like group DM, I'm calling us all friends at this point. You guys have no choice in the matter. But Kirk Anderson of Mavs Moneyball on Twitter, he's at Kirk Serious Face. He is a Mavs fan, and he is maybe still somehow one of the happiest people in all of NBA Twitter because he still gets to watch Luka Doncic on a nightly basis. Kirk, how you doing?
You know, I was disgusted, and then I was happy, and then I was disgusted again. And I, at bare minimum, it's very nice to care about basketball again.
It's, you can't say the same. Like, DeAndre Jordan wouldn't be able to offer up that quote.
Well, he shouldn't be happy about anything with the way his dumb ass played.
There was a dunk at one point. Picture that the Lakers grabbed of JaVale McGee's like biggest dunk of the night, and it's Jordan looking up at JaVale, and you can actually see him doing the math in his head of like, okay, yeah, but I'm making like $18 million more dollars this season than he is. I want to start with Luka Doncic. I like the way he plays, and I think he has a lot in common with Lonzo Ball. And we'll see if you roll with me on this theory, is that when – even if Lonzo isn't scoring or in tonight's game, Luka was having some issues with the Lakers' length in guarding him. Even when he isn't scoring, he finds ways to impact the game. And I think that is, while it's completely intangible and almost statistically improvable, that's one of the game's most valuable abilities.
I mean, that is basically what his game ended up being tonight. Because if you're a Lakers fan and you've not seen Doncic play, you probably watched that first half and thought that he was garbage. And then you watch the third quarter. I think he finished in the first half with like three assists and a rebound. And then you watch the third quarter. He finally gets a floater to go late. And he has a couple of nice passes. I mean, nothing like phenomenal, but just, you know, the good looking pass and open
court. Yeah, the right play.
You know, the direct play. That's a good way to call it. And then in the fourth quarter, he went 3 for 3 from the field with 3 assists, mm-hmm. and you know, he missed a free throw, which would have tied it. But he just looked like a guy who needs to have the ball some.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing we always talk about rookies, that they're not necessarily impactful. You know, it speaks volumes to me that Dennis Smith Jr. sat the remainder of that game. I mean, we'll get to him, I'm sure, because he's a little bit of a tire fire. But Luka is just he's big. He is methodical. He needs to get in better shape, of course. But that was just really impressive. I mean, the Lakers really let him get back into it, and I'm sure that, you know, it really shouldn't have been a game. I mean, I'm not sure I would have been invited on this podcast had the Lakers won by 10 points like they really should have. But it was just kind of one of these sequences where you could see why people are really excited about him. But from Dallas's point of view, I just don't know what they do with him because, frankly, he gets frozen out of games.
Yeah.
And whether that's by design or whether it's by accident, I just don't need, you know, Wesley Matthews and Harrison Barnes chucking up 31 shots in a game. I mean, J.J. Barea shot another 15. I don't know. Basketball is tough whenever you're looking at, like, the number of possessions. But, you know, Luka is effective. And the fact that he finished with 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists, it's a remarkably similar line to what Lonzo had.
Yeah, that's the comparison I keep making here is Lonzo does things that are all over the court that you – like, in order to fully grasp either player's games, you can only focus on that player. Like, anybody listening to this right now, Pete has said this on prior podcasts, like, you know, spend a quarter just watching Lonzo. Spend a half just watching Lonzo. If you're a complete nut the way that Pete and I are, go back and watch a game and just focus on Lonzo. And I feel like if you do the same kind of thing with Luka, you'll kind of see a lot of the same kind of things where – he may not get a counting stat for whatever he does there, But what he'll do is he'll just kind of, if he's on defense, he'll stick his hand in a passing lane, that and that passing lane will be really important in the other team being able to run their set. On offense, something as simple of just fading to a corner, because you know the player in isolation on the other court, on the other side of the court, needs that little bit of extra space. Like, those things over the course of a game add up to help your team win a basketball game. And then you compare that to somebody like, you mentioned Dennis Smith Jr. And the way I framed it, and the way I kind of watching him play, it was impossible not to think this, but he plays like he learned how to play basketball in NBA 2K, where he only does stuff when the ball is in his hands or when he's guarding the guy who has the ball in their hands.
Mm-hmm. He's a really instinctual player who gets a feel the longer he has it. I mean, it really reminds me of aspects of Stevie Franchise's game back in the day.
I was thinking about that the other day.
It's what's incredible is that in the preseason, he looked great. He was streaking to the hoop. He was actually getting out on the break and Doncic was getting it to him. But something with the way that the regular season, maybe the pace has changed a little bit. I know they've been working back in Harrison Barnes. There's been some odd things. But it's just so different in terms of watching a pair of point guards. I mean, the one thing that I really enjoy about Ingram, and this is really just the whole Lakers team, and you guys know this, is like the even though they might not look it in terms of size wise, the length that's all over the floor is just really problematic.
Yep.
And it was funny to see Doncic figure out over the course of the game what he needed to do.
Oh, like whenever KCP was guarding him, he was like, oh, wow, I mean, seven lengths of arms on me.
That pass at the end of the game to Harrison Barnes to for the three where LeBron sagged way down.
Yeah.
Mostly a lazy LeBron play, but it was like that. That's the kind of thing that just a lot of NBA players don't even have the trust to do after a series of seasons. So it's like, I'm really excited about watching him. I don't understand why Dallas doesn't run the offense more through him. But I mean, this is it. You know, there's a reason that they're 2-6 right now. I'll just put it to you like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you could say that about both teams. There are reasons. Like, I thought the Lakers were very visibly the better team over the course of the game.
Oh, God. Yeah.
They just, you know, that fourth quarter happened. We're going to take a quick second here. And when we come back, I want to talk. We talked a little bit about Lonzo in the context of the similarities that I see there with Doncic. But it's interesting to compare Doncic and Ingram and how different of players they are right now. So we're going to come back to that here in a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mazooma. If you are a small business owner and you haven't called Mazooma yet, I don't know what to tell you. They have put together an incredible package of accountants, bookkeepers, and CPAs, all based in the United States, all within a short phone call, text message, or email, or even live chat on their website. They have put all of that together to make your life easier as a small business owner. If you are interested, and you should be, packages start at only $75 a month. And personally, I would pay that tenfold if it meant the peace of mind that comes with not having to deal with the finances in the way that I haven't had to since we've partnered up. So call 213-947-6926. That's 213-947-6926. To get in touch with them on a free consultation, there is no strings attached. Again, that's Mazooma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. I thought major turning points in the game to me were when Ingram picked up his fifth foul and had to sit down, and that allowed either Josh Hart or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to come back into the game, and then they would get switched onto Doncic, and he just kind of said, oh, this is kind of nice. I don't have what feels like 13 arms in my face. I thought another turning point to the game was at the 5-minute mark or so, LeBron just kind of said, all right, you guys do your thing. But also the Lakers slowed down at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to how they handle the half court stuff here in a bit. But I want to really quickly talk about Ingram's defense in the sense that, like, this is why Luke Walton has him still in the starting lineup, despite Kyle Kuzma fitting better offensively with LeBron, is that, like, when Ingram really focuses and when Ingram really keys in on one aspect of something that he has to do defensively, he becomes really good. And I thought for the vast majority of the game, and especially possessions where he was just told, hey, go get Doncic, like, he looked really good there. What did you notice between the matchups in that regard?
I mean, it's challenging for me to really say, because when it was looking like the Harrison Barnes show, which occurred in the second quarter, which allowed Dallas to get back in it, that was just when Luka never touched the ball.
Yeah.
And Barnes is he has tunnel vision. He's an atrocious passer. He just doesn't know what to see. But because a guy like Ingram is so lengthy, like, it's not even he's covering a lot of ground if he's on Doncic or not. So, you know, by as much as I wish Harrison was able to pass the ball, if a guy like Ingram is covering a lot of space, he's not even going to be able to see Doncic if he's open. So that sort of thing was what really allowed, like, it just mucked up whatever attempts at a Maverick offense that they thought they would have. Mm-hmm. It was really something to see. And, you know, if the strength continues to come in for him, you know, it was really funny. I think he had like 3 offensive fouls tonight, Ingram.
Yeah.
He's just like that sort of aggressiveness. It's probably like frustrating in moment situation, but like, you just gotta love that from a guy who is really trying to develop his consistency with LeBron James still playing. So he was pretty impressive to me. I think he got a little too happy, you know, isolating over Jalen Brunson, but I mean, you know, you gotta take what the defense gives you.
Yeah, Brunson's a tough matchup for him because Brunson's center of gravity is somewhere around the South Pole or so.
Yeah, Andre Miller 2.0.
Yeah, Ingram was told to, like, go post him up, and you would see, like, he was trying to back up, and he's like, this guy's not moving, coach. This guy is not going anywhere. So he just eventually said, like, all right, fine, I'll try to shoot over him. But I want to talk about the Harrison Barnes thing because – like, I think Harrison Barnes is the worst case scenario for somebody like Kyle Kuzma. And like, he's good at the things that he does. I think he does create matchup problems with his strength and some of that stuff. But like, if Harrison Barnes is successful in the way that Harrison Barnes thinks he has to be successful, that's taking away from your other players. Mm-hmm. And like the Lakers saw that previously with Jordan Clarkson, where Robbie Callen has a tweet that's like, it's Jordan Clarkson time. Jordan Clarkson every time, right? And I feel like that's Harrison Barnes anytime he walks onto the court. And like, fortunately, Kuzma gets to play with LeBron, and you aren't allowed to pick up some of those bad habits. But what do you think of the comparison between Harrison Barnes and Kyle Kuzma?
Because I think it's a really good one, because the simple fact is, when it comes to these like wings, when you got a guy like LeBron or Kevin Durant or Paul George, Kawhi, there's just a clear tier down between the second run players. And then after that, there's another clear tier. And these guys who are, you know, you're 6'8", you know, 6'6" to 6'10", kind of small forwards with ball skills, they're just not good enough. Yeah. And that's not a knock on them, but if their usage comes in that like 12 to 17 foot area where they're taking contested twos and not necessarily shooting enough threes or at the rim, then they're not helping.
Yeah.
And like, Kuzma looked real good in that first quarter. It was like kind of horrifying to me. I don't know how many points he had. I feel like he had 6 or 9 points, and I thought it was going to be a Kyle Kuzma game. And then, you know, luckily things kind of cooled off.
Yeah.
But it's tough, because how do you explain that to a guy? He sits there and he looks at his numbers and he says, but I'm doing really well. And you know, maybe in a vacuum, the numbers are okay. But then you look at, you know, you're obviously playing next to the best wing of your generation.
Like, you have other options.
In context, you know, we just need you to shoot threes and play hard defense. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, and you get shoot threes, fill the fast break, you know, fill a lane either to the 3-point line, fill a lane and get to the rim, and then go down and don't be a disaster on defense. And the tough thing, and Pete and I have talked about this a ton with Kuzma, is that he's talented enough to say, like, no, but you see all these shots I can make? And you say, like, well, look at all these shots that other guys on your team can are they're more effective at making, and they're more efficient shots. So, yeah.
Well, is that the sort of thing where you think they would ever consider him, like, maybe not this season or maybe later in the season, letting him really kind of, you know, be the go-to guy on the second unit? Because you're kind of looking at the bench options for the Lakers, and, you know, Lance Stephenson was really the main reason the Mavericks got back in this game. And same with Rajon Rondo's crisp negative 21 in 17 minutes.
I'm sure you enjoyed that, by the way.
Well, I mean, I'm sitting like the Mavericks plus minuses aren't any better. I mean, yeah.
That specific one, I would imagine, though, people in Dallas are like,
oh, yeah, we don't really like that guy. But it's just like looking at that kind of punch where it's like you wonder if you can stick, because if you know, it's nice to have a bench that extends leads. But the bottom line is, in any team that has LeBron James is trying to steal 10 minutes where they don't get crushed. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of the whole goal. Yeah. And like, what, looking at Kuzma's line tonight, 18 and 8 on 11 shots. Like, that's phenomenal. It just is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think eventually either they'll make that Kuzma or they'll make that Ingram, and they'll try to make it work where both guys stay in the starting lineup just for the sake of, like, here's a pat on the back, guys. But they'll stagger those guys' minutes depending on who has it what night or matchups or whatever, what they need from that third guy. I think that's the best way to make this work. But who knows? The top topic, though, from this game is going to be the continued malfunction of the Lakers' offense over the course of the last few minutes of every close game that they've been in. So we're going to take a quick second, and when we come back, we'll get to that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Metro Infinity. Are you in the market for a new car, maybe a used car? Do you enjoy the way that Infinities look? I do, especially. Every time I'm driving around and I see an Infiniti, I always think to myself, that's my next car. And when I get that car, I'm going to look up Metro Infinity out there in Monrovia off the 210, and here are a few reasons why. First off, they're a family-owned business, and they understand that buying a new car can be stressful, and they want to take that away from you as much as they possibly can. One way that they do that is, if I want to buy this car, let's say I hop onto MetroInfinity.com, I see a car that I want but don't want to go into a dealership, I can go in there, or I can go onto the site, let them know which car I want, and they'll bring me my new car and the paperwork to whether I'm at home or my office, wherever, and they'll complete the whole transaction. That's insanely – that eases my mind as much as you can possibly do that. You can either go on MetroInfinity.com or call them at 626-599-7510, and they'll figure out what's best for you in terms of value or whatever you might be looking for. Look them up. And let them know that Locked On sent you, and they will knock off $500 off your purchase. $500. Mention Locked On. Go check them out. Let's get back to the show. So one of my favorite ways to gauge whether the team I'm rooting for or whatever is being successful is, if I'm a fan of the opposing team, how do I feel about what that player or what that team is doing specifically? So, like, one example of it is, if I'm a fan of the team, like if I'm rooting against the Minnesota Vikings and they have a 3rd-and-1 on like the opponent's 43-yard line and they opt to punt, if I'm rooting against that team, I'm saying to myself, thank you, I'll take that. And I kind of feel like it's turning into a point where, with this Lakers offense, down the stretches of these games, the Lakers will have opportunities to run and won't run late. And if I'm rooting for the opposing team, I'm saying to myself, well, thank you. You guys have been running it down our throats all game. Now you're gonna back it up and go into try to execute this half court offense that hasn't been able to execute or be executed over the course of the season. So like when you were watching this late, the Mavericks very nearly steal one away from the Lakers, and the Lakers just kept slowing things down. How were you watching that?
I mean, I'm looking at the game log now, and the Lakers went up 110-96 with 4:16. So that means over the next 4 minutes and 16 seconds, the Lakers scored 4 points and the Mavericks scored 20. What's four? But shoot, I can't even do the math. The Mavericks scored like 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Mavericks scored 17 in 4 minutes. And so it was, you know, it is kind of a perfect storm. I mean, that like it looks like LA missed some free throws. Like there was a lot of things. Like the score is not indicative of how poor, like, the Lakers played poorly down the way, but really the Mavericks made a ton of garbage and the Lakers missed a bunch of free throws. So I mean, when I wish, like, the Lakers probably wish they would have really ran, you know, some more offensive sets and maybe not so much kind of isolation type stuff.
That's for
but
sure.
That's really about all you can do. I think that with NBA play calling, you can use time just by running sets. And I think what so many teams tend to do is they just grind it to a halt by saying, well, we're just going to give it to player X and let him dribble for 14 of the 24 second shot clock. And that's just not a good use, because everybody gets, you know, you get those 14 seconds of rest. Nobody's really moving around. And I think that's probably if I were, you know, Walton, that's what I would insist upon, is like, let's really, you know, keep going with our offense. It's been working.
Yep. I completely agree. And it's funny because the Lakers defense leads to their best offense, right? When they get a stop, they get out in transition and the offense looks better because they come at teams in waves. And the same thing is true in reverse, where if they're scoring, if they're putting the ball through the hoop and forcing the other team to take the ball out from behind the baseline, they can get back in transition and set up and be able to communicate, okay, I got so-and-so, whatever. They haven't been very good at handling opposing offenses off of a stop of their own offense. And I thought that's what we saw a lot of over the course of that, you know, fourth-ish quarter or so. My question to you was, I don't think you can rely on running late. Like, I don't think you can rely on transition late in an NBA game. At that point, everybody is dog tired. At that point, the team that you're going up against has been told throughout the night, hey, get back, get back, get back, get back. So that's that becomes a focus there. Was there anything in particular, though, that like made you nervous in the half court beyond, I don't know, There wasn't anything that the Lakers were doing in the half court that you kind of said, there's nothing that the Dallas can do or that we can do to stop that.
I mean, I'm having a hard time with the Mavs half court defense, because as of right now, and this is before the stats get updated, through seven games, the Mavericks were the worst, gave up the highest 3-point percentage shooting to opposing teams in the league. So just to give you guys some context, Boston is currently number one. They allow opposing teams to shoot 27% from 3-point line. The Mavericks are dead last and by a wide margin at 47% from three. The Lakers shot 59% from three tonight. So I'm not really sure what. Because a lot of the shots that the Lakers were getting were wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, the pick and rolls at the top of the key were really effective, because Dallas just doesn't seem to know what they want to do. They keep dropping DeAndre Jordan, and he doesn't even react to the ball handler. The one time he did that I really remember, I think, is that JaVale McGee dunk you were talking about. It was like right at the end of the third quarter, where he so overcommits to the ball handler that McGee looked like he was on, like McGee looked like he was playing slam ball.
Yeah, full so on it's, runway.
So it's like the Dallas. I mean, the Mavericks are probably a crappy team to judge like you know how your half court offense is running, because they just don't play any effect. Like their defense is so confusing that sometimes it confuses opponents' offenses because they're so bad, and it results in like some wonky plays because they just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. What it comes down to is. the Lakers really had to try to make Dallas look like even a remotely decent defensive team down the stretch of that game. Yeah. And like, I don't know, you and I can have a conversation about where we think both teams go from here, and we can get to that here in a second. But in terms of like the fourth quarter execution, it's very obviously LeBron looking at the kids like, OK, go do something. And the kids looking at LeBron like, are you sure? Like, are you positive we have clearance to go do something here? Can we just stick with the offense that we've been working on or that we've been trying to execute all game? And it, what it turns into is like a couple passes around the perimeter and then an isolation. And it's just, it hasn't been pretty. But to get to the question that I just kind of teased a second ago, where do you think both teams go from here? Like, does Dallas think about tanking, or do you think they have enough in them to actually legitimately contend, or how do you feel about the Lakers kind of moving forward and in trying to dig themselves out of the hole that they've dug for themselves?
Well, I want to circle back to this again in the end, but I think the Lakers need one more kind of rebounding big. I think, yep, you know that. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, this is going to sound silly, but I thought a guy like Maxi Kleber, he was the random white guy, Lakers fans, number 42, who kept getting blocks. Yeah. And if you look at his game log, guys, he's been doing this all year, and he did it last year. He's essentially the white guy at pickup games that everyone thinks sucks, and then he ends up running with the winning team for like six straight games. Yeah. Not amazing, but he's a little taller than you think, a little longer than you think, and has excellent timing. So I think like if the Lakers could find him or somebody like him at all, I think that really helps down the stretch, because you just can't, like, these smallish lineups, I think, are just going to wear the team out over the course of the year.
Yeah.
So I think that the Lakers really could go on a run. They
smallish
need to bring,
is a great word for it.
Yeah, because they're big, long guys, but they're just like, you know, you got to have somebody out there that can absorb some contact that's not LeBron.
Yeah.
And I think that really the Laker goal probably should be by January 1st to be playing 500 ball and be within range of 500. It's probably going to make some people pissy, but you know, that's if we're talking about 2 months of games, which is probably in the neighborhood of like 24 to 27 games. And so if you can play 500 ball over those next games and then really try to like hit a stride heading into All-Star break and come out of it, then I think the playoffs are still a possibility. It's really hard in the West. I can tell you this because I've experienced this really the last few years, and I'm sure Lakers fans have too. Like you get on a bad start, it's just hard to bounce back. Like the West is looking kind of sloppy right now, with Houston looking terrible, and a bunch of other teams just kind of underperforming. So there's like an opportunity, but the Lakers really can't afford to screw around much more.
That's why tonight's game is huge.
Yeah, it was, because I mean, you just can't be 2-7, which is, yeah, what my team is facing right now. And I'm not really sure what Dallas does, because they've lost five in a row now, and all five games, I think all four of the five were within 5 points during crunch time. And that says to me that they're doing something right, but they really have to figure out how to close, or really they just need to stop sucking in the beginning. But I'm not sure what they do, because so the pick that they traded to the Hawks is top five protected. And so the lottery, you know, the lottery gets readjusted this year, where I think like the top five or top six teams all have similar odds. And so things could just get really wonky. So like tanking doesn't really seem to work, but they also just aren't very good.
Yeah, you know, they might not have a choice.
They might not have a choice. Like it's not tanking if you're just losing at that point.
Yeah.
And the Mavs, you know, they don't have any shooting. They have shooters, but not like any shooting. They traded away Dougie McDermott, who was amazing for them down the stretch last year, and let Yogi Ferrell walk. And so they have a bunch of guys who are good at volume, and so they're basically playing, when you really look at how they play, they're like low. They're like the low rent Rockets in terms of the volume they get up. So I'm not really sure what they do. I mean, to me, the real thing that they do is they stop screwing around with this, you know, oh, Dennis Smith is your lead ball handler. Luka should be the ball handler. Yeah. Luka is the point guard. I'm not saying they move on from Dennis, but this sort of crap where, you know, a guy like Dennis, who has played 95 minutes the last three games and shot 4 free throws while dishing out 10 assists, he can get off my lawn. Yeah. I need him to be effective, and he's not. And so yeah, they need to start. And, you know, Wes Matthews being who he is, being overused, sweet foul on LeBron there in the final seconds.
Hey,
of the game.
I appreciated that. That was
God. Nice. Everybody,
did he just forget the score?
There's a couple of things batting around on the internet. I think that he really was just caught out of position, which why you have a 32-year-old Achilles recovery guy on the you know, top two player in the league doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm not the coach.
I'm legit shocked he's only 32.
Well, I mean, when you as Kobe fans will tell you, you tear that ACL, that ages you, Achilles. And so I'm not really sure what they do. I'm having a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to care, but there's not really a roadmap unless they feel like giving the keys to the young guy. And I don't think that's in Carlisle's DNA.
You know which kind of point guard would fit amazingly next to Luka? Lonzo.
Who?
Lonzo.
No.
Yeah, he would. He would too.
But he's like Luka is the point guard, is what
I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying though, is that like Lonzo doesn't play your traditional point guard. He just
He doesn't need the ball to clog up the lane and stuff like that. Right. No, he can just play. Yeah, right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. That's what I mean. And he defends on the other end of the court. Like that's the kind of point guard I would want.
Shoot, Dennis is short. That's the thing I was like, yeah, looking at next to Lonzo. And he's got this, like, he's a 6'3 guy with a 6'3 wingspan. Like, that just kills you over time. Yeah,
absolutely.
But yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of fun. I'm really disappointed with the way the schedule works out. The Mavericks only play the Lakers two more times this season.
Yeah.
Which sucks. But
it's a fun matchup.
It's a fun matchup because nobody seems like neither team can really guard the other very, very well. Like, there's some matchup things that the Lakers went out on based on the length, but like I was looking at this before the game, I was like, well, who is going to guard who?
Yeah.
And you know, I would like to see it again with fewer Harrison Barnes and Wesley Matthews shots.
I think that's fair to hope for. I want to see more Finney Smith.
He looked good, didn't he?
He did. That dude gets on an elevator and he just keeps going up.
Yeah, and I don't understand. He's their best defensive player. He's an okay 3-point shooter, but it's just he's one of those guys. He's the 3-and-D guy that every team kind of is panning for. I'm still not sure if he's very good, but he's at least like he deserves that burn.
Here's how I'd put it. He's the anti Harrison Barnes, where he's just the 3-and-D guy who doesn't need the ball very much, and he allows whoever else is on the court with him to, if he's on the court with like Luka, for example, he allows Luka to be full on Luka. Like if I was to construct a roster around Luka, because I do think he's really good, and I think he's going to be really good. What I would try to do is I would get as many low usage guys around him who can defend, and you kind of go from there. And that's, you know, we'll see how that turns out. But that was fun. The Lakers wind up winning. It was funny. They sent down streamers at the end of the game, and I'm looking at those like, I might have held those. I might have held on to those ones if I were you guys. But, you know.
Well, at least the fans got a show, because it was mostly like it was such a disconnected game.
Yeah.
And then it was like
wasn't great.
Wildly tense.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got their nerves in. Well, thank you very much, Kirk, for hopping on with us. If you want to follow him, he's on Twitter, at Kirk Seriousface. He writes for Mavs Moneyball. They've put together some really good content over there. One of my other good buddies, Doyle Rader, writes over there occasionally as well. You guys can follow this show everywhere that you find podcasts. You can find the show on Twitter, at Locked On Lakers. And make sure you guys are getting in your questions for this weekend's mailbag. As on iTunes, and I get to all of those on Sunday nights, and those are a lot of fun too. But thanks again, Kirk. This was a lot of fun.
Yep. Have a good one.